Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Continuing on in our verse-by-verse exposition of the Gospel of Luke. We're going to kind of take this in a contextual sense. I'm going to read some verses here to keep it in the same thing. We want to, it's kind of following through with the message on judging, which we were at 2 weeks prior. Of course, with last week with the combination service, I endeavored to give another message to you that I thought was appropriate, speaking of God's will and our own will. And I trust that was an encouragement to you. But as we look here, we see verse 37, and then he jumps into this section on fruit bearing, and then on obedience as the groundwork of our salvation. Our groundwork of our salvation, of course, is Christ. And so I want to just look at verse 37, read down through the end of the chapter here. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure, it shall be measured to you again. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his teacher, but every one that is perfect shall be as his teacher. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For from thorns men do not gather figs, nor from a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Let's look to the Lord together. Father, we thank you for the careful copies of the scriptures that were made, that Luke endeavored to write the things that he had both seen and heard, and get firsthand eyewitness accounts of everything that had transpired. So we have before us an accurate and perfect and inerrant accounting of what happened. And now we're looking at what Jesus preached, what he taught. And so we give this to you. Excuse me. We give this to you this morning, that you will take the Word of God and use it in our life, and that we'll see the interpretation and the application as the Holy Spirit gives it to each one. Illuminate and open the eyes of those that are here today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now we come to the third part. We're in the instructional part of the sermon, and we're into the third part of the sermon. You remember I divided that instructional part from verse 27 to 49 and divided it into four ways. I divided it, number one, love of enemies. Number two, or B, instruction in right judgment. C, identification of true versus false living, which we're going to look at today. And then D, identification of the true foundation versus the false foundation, which we'll look at next week. And in this short section, we find that Jesus is giving some teaching on the importance of fruit, and that fruit is an identifier of a particular type of tree, And that follows what Jesus was speaking about making right judgment and being very cautious that we don't look at individuals without first looking at ourselves. And that's part of the identification of a true believer who does not just look down upon other believers because they're doing certain things and judges them, but first looks into his own heart, into his own life. And we see that the Lord Jesus was not speaking about the fact that you can't make a judgment, obviously, because now, as he expounds here for us, this looking at the good tree, you have to be able to use some discernment if you're going to look at a particular tree. You're going to have to make a discernment about that tree, which means you're going to be making a judgment, right? So that's so obviously Jesus was not talking about you can't judge. He was talking about the fact that you can't make judgment with the wrong attitude, with the wrong heart, without first looking introspectively at yourself. And that's something that we as believers need to be doing all the time. So we must remember then that whether this person be true or false, we must remember that the gospel is not about what we do. It's not about what we do, but it's about what he has done. And as God does the work, these particular truths will come out in your life. You will be looking at yourself introspectively. You will be looking at the level of spiritual activity that you're doing. You'll be examining. You'll be seeing your fruit. You'll be seeing your lack of fruit and so forth. But the Lord, as he works, then as he regenerates the soul, certain results will come as a result of regeneration. And that we need to get, okay? The fruit is not the cause. It's the result. It's the end of our life. And that's something that you and I don't manufacture. That's something that you and I can't produce. In other words, you might say, well, oh man, I'm not very bearing much fruit in my life. So let me see, maybe I can read this latest book on how to be gentle, how to be loving, how to be kind, you know, and then maybe I can start being different, you know. Just change my behavior. No, it's not about behavior change. It's about heart change, and only God can do that. He's the only one that can do that. And as he works in you, you're going to find yourself working out your own salvation in fear and trembling, as the Bible says, and it's not something that you do out in your own strength. It's something that happens as a result of being born again. So people that aren't being born again cannot produce fruit. Plain and simple, and we'll see that as the passage unfolds to us. Now, as we look at Matthew's account, and I'm not going to turn there, but Matthew brings in Matthew chapter 7, he brings this into context of the false teachers. And in a sense, this is what's happening here as well, as Luke's bringing this out. He says, "For every tree bringeth forth good corrupt fruit." Well, maybe hold your place here, and let's just look at it so you'll get the idea of what I'm saying. I think it might be good just to focus on it. So turn to Matthew chapter 7 and begin with verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7. And he's speaking here. Matthew records the Lord's sermon here where the Lord is saying, look, be careful of false prophets. And boy, I tell you, I don't know about you, but when I'm on the internet and I'm looking around and reading different articles, you know, let's say I'm in a particular section of Scripture and I Google up that section of Scripture, there's a whole string of sermons on that stuff, you know? And some of them are like, wow, where'd this guy get this idea from? And, you know, and I think, well, I wonder how many people are reading this, you know? And then out of that, you might find 3 out of 20 articles that might be rightly dividing the passage. It's crazy. And you and I need to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I don't know how you pronounce that. Is it ravening or ravening? Ravenous. Okay, ravening. I was, when I learned to read, I sometimes read as I see things, but ravenous, right? Ravening wolves. You shall know them by what? Their fruit. Okay? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So even if so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth bad fruit. And now Luke just kind of continues on that narrative, not using the false prophet part. Okay? So, but then if you go back to Luke chapter 6, you hold your place in Luke, but then go to Luke chapter 3, okay? And you see where John the Baptist now is doing some preaching. And look what he says here in his preaching, in his sermon. All these people have come in to hear him preach. Now, I don't know how John did this, but if all of a sudden there was 20 or 30 people, guests here, that were attending with us, and I said to them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" They probably wouldn't be back. I don't know these people, you know, that are coming in. I don't know their hearts. But John, being a prophet, he knew, right? He knew their hearts. And so he could sound out with that kind of thunder. And he said, "Bring forth what? Fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you, God is able to, of these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire." So, what's John saying? Well, these false teachers were adding all this stuff to the law and adding all these requirements so that the people were under great oppression, and John was giving them the what for. He was letting them have it, and he was showing their fruit. So now Luke, of course, he says, "Every tree that bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." He's dealing with the same thing. So the context seems to be false teachers, but it can go a lot broader than that, where you can actually say not only false teachers, but false professors. People who do not possess the faith, but profess the faith. And you see that not only in false teachers, but you see that in people who make false professions. So where does good fruit come from, number one? So he says here, "A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." So, first then, each tree bears its own fruit. What Jesus is saying here? He's saying something just factual. A tree that is healthy and well cared for will not produce bad fruit. He's not saying anything profound, but merely seeking to establish a common reference point to make his teaching to say something that the hearers that he's speaking to can readily identify. Very agricultural area. And they could get that. And you can too. I mean, you drive into an apple orchard, what do you expect to find? Apples. But take a look at an apple tree before the fruit comes. The apple tree is also very similar to a pear tree. And it looks similar. Okay, the leaves are very similar. The trees are similar. So what has to take place? You have to wait. And now you go to an apple orchard and you go for a ride through the apple orchard on a tractor or whatever, and the guy that works at the apple orchard will say, "Well, that's a Cortland tree, that's a Jonamac, that's a Fuji." And you go, "How does he know all that?" You know, you know, he's been there. He knows. He's actually seen it time and time again. He works there. He knows the trees, right? So he can tell you. But you might not know. You might say, well, it might be a crab apple tree. It might be, you know, some other type. But after the fruit begins to emerge, then you're now more likely able to identify the fruit. Then Jesus states another fact that is obvious. He says that you're not going to get tree, you're not going to get fruit from thorns, a thorn tree, nor are you going to gather figs from a bramble bush. Okay, so you're not going to find that kind of fruit from that kind of source. So let's make the illustration a little more something that you might identify with. Let's say that you go into the state penitentiary and you have the freedom to walk about the penitentiary. You wouldn't want that, but let's say you did. You say, you know what, I think I'm going to go out to the prison yard where all the inmates are, where they're exercising and lifting weights and all that, into this maximum security facility. And you go out there and go, hi guys, how you doing? And they all come gathering around you with their orange suits. You wouldn't expect them to put their arm around you and welcome you and say nice, kind words to you and to offer you some food or anything else, would you? You wouldn't expect that. As a matter of fact, you have a certain degree of fear, because these guys, this is the worst of the worst. You wouldn't expect that from them. So that's something that you don't expect from that type of person. If you're sleeping in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you realize that somebody's broken into your house, a couple of thieves, and they come in, and you confront them, and they say, Mr. Ellis, boy, so glad to see you. We just want to let you know that we've got a 60-inch TV screen here for you that we want to give to you, and we want to give you a brand new computer and a brand new fridge. And we have it right here. Bring it in, boys. Would you expect that from a couple of guys that just broke into your house? No. So you expect from the individual what is going to ensue. You know, you're going to expect certain fruit from that kind of person. So then, you know, you walk into a church and you come into that church and you open the door of the church and you head towards the pastor's office, and the pastor comes running out of the office yelling and screaming and cursing at you, what are you doing on our property? Would you expect that from the pastor? No. So there's certain things that we know come from certain individuals, don't we? And we just looked at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10, in our prayer meeting time. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his deed be good or evil. Fruit, right? The children, as we looked at, they don't hide themselves. Little children don't hide themselves. They might be fighting over this toy or fighting over that, or they might be really kind. You just don't know, but you see, what you see is what you get. And so Jesus says here that each tree is known by its fruit. It's known by its fruit. Every tree, verse 44, is known. That word known, to know, comes from the word to know. And there's a couple of Greek words that mean to know. Actually, there's three. But the two essential words are these. One is eido, which means it's a knowledge that you get from studying, from going to the library, academia. That's the kind of knowledge they're talking about. And then there's another word called gnosko, which is the kind of knowledge that you get by experience. And so, in other words, like Mary, when she was being spoken to by the angel, who said that she was going to be found pregnant through the Holy Spirit, going to have a child, she said, how shall I know this, seeing though I know not a man? Okay, that was the word gnosko, because she had not experienced that relationship with a man. So she said, how can I know this? So that the word that Jesus is using here is gnosko. He's using the word to know. That means to become intimately aware of something by experience. So he says here, every tree is known by its fruit. So Jesus is getting at here that you know what is displayed and experienced by you. You really know someone, when you've spent time with someone, and those you know are best, that know you best, are people in your church, people in your family, people that spend time with you. So what kind of fruit then are we looking at here? He says, for from thorns men do not gather figs, nor from a bramble bush gather they grapes. Well, holding your place here, let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And in this passage of Scripture, the apostle tells us fruit, and he describes to us spiritual fruit. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. And in a sense, this is fruit also. Which are these? Adultery. That can be both active and mental. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Sorcery. Hatred. Strife. Jealousy. Wrath. Factions. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what is this? This is the natural ensuing fruit that comes from an unregenerate person. Okay? It doesn't mean that this unregenerate person can't do good things. But the general display will be these things. If not externally, they will be going on internally inside that person. So then we see then the fruit of the Spirit, which is just the opposite. Fruit of the Spirit is. Now, When you look at the word, just an aside here, if you look at the word fruit of the Spirit, that's in the Greek, that's in the genitive case, and that means genitive of source. Okay, so that helps us to translate the passage and understand the interpretation of the passage, meaning that that is the origin, okay, of what he's going to share with us. So it's not coming from the natural flesh, it's coming from the Spirit, and here it is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So these are what should come from a Christian and are in fact expected to be present in the Christian's life. So when you meet someone who says, hi, I'm Tom Christian. And Tom Christian, you see Tom Christian, and then with Tom Christian, you're going to say, wow, this guy has a lot of love. He's a very gentle type person. He is a person that has kindness in his heart. Tom, Christian, is very patient. He is got a lot of faith. He's very faithful. He's got a lot of self-control in his life. Wow. And that's what you expect from a Christian. And we expect that. When we behold the Christian, the testimony that we see then is primarily, though, love. Love. And that's the greatest giveaway when we're seeking fruit. A graceless, frictional person, individual who lacks grace and patience towards others is more like someone who is resting merely on their profession of faith. More on their profession of faith. And we're going to look at this as we take our communion today in John chapter 13. Because Jesus gives in his final hours before his departure, he gives this final command to them, which is the fruit that most prominently shows in the believer. He says this, they will know you are disciples if you have love one for the other. Love one for the other. So a new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another. Now the disciples had some problems with that. They were like this. He says, no, no, that's not what's going to happen. You need to have love for one another. It's a command. And it's easy to love those who show love to us. And Luke brought that out, didn't he? In his past and part of the sermon that Jesus preached. So if you love them who love you, what difference is that from the rest of the world? So true love works itself out relationally. Relationally. The question then is, how are your relationships? What is the history of your relationships? But remember, that's only something that God can do. God can do. Grace comes from God. A gracious and loving person who shows a spiritual fruit is not someone that can do this by behavioral modification. And we're going to see that shortly here. But it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. It comes from God. Now, that doesn't mean that you wait for the Spirit to move you before you do something. It's called stepping out in faith and doing it and obeying it as God has said in His Word. So, Jesus tells us then, number two, that the issue is from the heart. And we see two people. We see the good person and we see the bad person. He says here, verse 45, a good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is what? Good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. So, the good person. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are good persons? Anybody? Anybody want to volunteer? No. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one. Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Romans chapter 1 shows very clearly. Romans chapter 3 shows very clearly, none of us are good. None of us are good. Not one. So wait a minute. But the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. So how does that figure? How does that figure? Because it's God. You see, what God creates is always good. Remember that. What God creates is always good. It's called regeneration. It's the new birth. See, we can deduce from that that God never does anything bad. He never does anything bad. He always does what is good. Notice that Jesus says here at the end of this section, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So it is that God who gives a new heart, it's called the miracle of regeneration. And he gives a new heart, a new creation. And when God made the various elements of creation, when he did that, everything that God made, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, is when he made it, he saw that it was good. He is always pleased with what he does. So since God regenerates us, it can only stand to reason that God has done it and he is pleased with the finished work. If you are born again and regenerated by the Spirit of God, God is pleased with what he sees. Now, you may not be so pleased with what you see, but can I remind you that God is pleased with what he sees? And so when a person is born again, Christ can be seen in that person because it stands to reason that if there's no evidence of Christ in that person, no evidence of grace in that person, no evidence of fruit in that person, then there was no evidence of recreation in that person. There was no evidence of regeneration in that person. So one of the greatest things that happen in regeneration is that fruit emerges. Now, we have to also recognize another particular truth and give you an illustration. When we moved into our house, I was kind of doing a perusal, and I didn't even notice this bush until maybe I'd mowed the lawn a couple of times. But I saw this bush out in the back. It was a very scrawny bush, very small. It was only about this high. And half of it was dead. But on the other half, I saw these little blossoms. And I go, huh, I wonder what kind of fruit tree this is. It's got some sort of a fruit tree, some sort of a tree of some sort. Well, a couple of weeks later, you know what I saw? Blueberries. I came running and I go, honey, I go, guess what? We have a blueberry bush out there. It's going to give us blueberries. Well, the problem was somebody had planted that tree, neglected it. And it wasn't given much blueberries. In matter of fact, I got about 7. Not what I'd hoped. But the fact of it was, though, fruit did come. And it was a blueberry bush. And I'm hoping that if I can prune it and dig around it and put a hedge about it, I can get that thing to grow. I'll keep you informed. So there is something there that we need to recognize as far as what we're concerned. There's two parables that Jesus gave that kind of give some explanation to this. The first is explained in Matthew chapter 13. And I'm not going to give you the whole parable for the sake of time. But in Matthew 13, you find 4 soil types. It's really called the parable of the soil. You might call it the parable of the sower. But in reality, contextually and interpretively, it's the parable of the soil. And there are 4 soil types: the hard, beaten down path, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and then the good soil. But the key is, what came out of the good soil? Grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But it did yield grain. Because it came from what? Good soil. The same for my blueberry bush. Right now, it's not yielding much, but it is a fruit tree. And it's got something. And so if I fertilize it, if I take care of it, I might get some more fruit out of it. But that's what happens with God in us. He is constantly working on us through tests, through trials, through chastenings, so that fruit will come. And guess what? If you have been born again, fruit will come. You may be like my blueberry bush. Or you may be like a beautiful apple tree that's just hanging with apples. But you're all bearing fruit of some sort. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the apostle tells us, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we see explained in Matthew 13, the parable there about the 4 soils. If you're in that right soil, if God has rebirthed you, regenerated you, fruit will come. Now turn to John chapter 15 for a minute. And we see another picture that is described of the vine and the branches. And this is a good picture of Jesus likening himself with the vine, and we are the branches. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, some people interpret the fact that if you're a Christian and you're not bearing fruit, God's going to cut you off and throw you into the fire and you lose your salvation. That's not what he's saying. He's saying there are branches that never bore fruit. They are apostates. They are not believers. Because if you have no fruit, you have no root. And the branch is dead. It's cut off, thrown into the fire. But there are other Christians who bear fruit, but they need some additional help from the Lord. Abide in me, verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now back up here to verse 2 again. He says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What's the purging? What I'm going to do to my blueberry bush. And when I do it to my blueberry bush, I'm bound and determined to do it. I'm going to clip off some of those dead branches and it's going to go, ow! Not going to like it. But what it's going to do is going to work to make the rest of the tree healthier so that it will produce the fruit, and that's exactly what God's doing in you. He is working in you by pruning you. And the pruning is by tests, by trial, by chastening. So going back to Luke, you see, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Notice, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Just as the tree produces fruit in accordance with its nature, so also are people. The hearts of the righteous have been transformed by the regeneration of the heart, and they hold good treasure. Turn with me here, if you hold your place in Luke, to Ezekiel chapter 36. And if you want to note an additional passage, write down Jeremiah 31:33. Which is saying something similar, but not as thoroughly as Ezekiel does. So turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. And I want to look at verse 25 of Ezekiel 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, verse 25, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, that you shall keep mine ordinances and do them, and you will bear fruit. I'm throwing that in. Okay, because that's what happens. So, the hearts of the unregenerate hold evil treasure. The heart of those who are new creation bear fruit. And what people say with their mouths reveal what is in their heart. Plain and simple. So, application. By this, we can readily identify false teachers. You're going to see them. They're really like wolves in sheep's clothing. They may look real, but they are really not. And that's the same with false professors of faith. They may look real outwardly, but inwardly, they are not. They may be professors, but they're not possessors. The question that you need to ask then is your life patterned after what Jesus is preaching in his sermon here? Good spiritual fruit is not produced, remember, not produced by your own effort. You can't walk out of here and say, you know what, I'm gonna start bearing fruit now. No, that won't happen. But you can say, you know what, I'm not bearing fruit now, Lord. Maybe I've never been born again. I need to trust you alone for my salvation. I need you. I need to be born from above. I need to repent of my selfish living, my self-centered lifestyle. And I need, by faith, to apprehend the truth of the Word of God in my life and walk in accordance with you and follow you as you've told me. Stepping out in faith, stepping out in obedience. It's the result of God's work. And fruit is not the cause. It's the result. And if you have no spiritual fruit, there is no root. So, we need to remember the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is really preaching the gospel here. Because there were surely many people that were not exhibiting this fruit. And so he's preaching the gospel so that they could see, wow, my source of life can only be in Christ. It can't be in myself. It can't be from my own works, from my own religious system. It has to be sourced in Christ. Otherwise, I will not bear fruit. I will not bear fruit. You see, Jesus went to the cross, and he, having no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is the eternal God. He died the curse of death to die in our place and pay the sin penalty. And as you trust by faith his work on the cross and believe upon the Lord, he will do something marvelous in you. Love will flow out from your heart back to him for what he has done. And then that love will spill out so that others will know that God has done something in you. Fruit will come forth. It will be the evidence that you are of God. And John said, we know that we are of God because we love the brethren. That can't happen unless God is in you. So, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? And of course, the next part of the sermon, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That'll be another sermon. Let's look to him. Father, we can't do these things. We can't exhibit fruit on our own. It has to come from the Spirit of God. Lord, will you please work? Grant unto us new life. If there's any here that have never been born again, Lord, may they see that you're the source of life. May they repent and put their trust wholly in you. And then as they do, that they might see things begin to change. Their outlook on life changes. Their outlook on people changes. Their outlook on everything changes. Lord, only you can do that through the precious word. May you work mightily through it today, through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.